Big 550 KTRS. Joining us right now, our good friend from the St. Louis Sports Page, STL Sports Page. com as a spring training is just about underway. Our good friend Rob Raines along with us on our guest line. Hello, Rob. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Brendan?
I appreciate you doing a couple of minutes with us here, sir. I'm well and always enjoy our conversations. It's kind of hard to believe baseball is here, Rob. You've covered the game for a while. Have you seen an off season like this in your memory?
In terms of all baseball, no.
Yeah.
Of course not. I mean, in terms of, you know, the Cardinals not being, you know, really active on the trade market or the free agent market, sure. But it's been a, you know, definitely a chaotic, you know, period for baseball when you get one team, you know, hiring a manager, you know, a couple of days before spring training starts because they had to fire their manager back in the center, mutually agreed to part ways. You know, three managerial changes in the last month. I mean, it's just, yeah, obviously the fallout from the Houston scandal and the Red Sox stuff. We still don't know the penalties that the Red Sox are going to face. So it's I'm glad I'm not covering one of those two teams. Let's put it that way. That would be a, you know, a lot busier time.
I was still in the locker room covering the team on a nightly basis, Rob, when Carlos Beltran played for the Cardinals in 2012 and 2013. I got to tell you, I'm really disappointed in some of the stuff I've heard about him, especially today. More information comes out. I don't know how you feel about it, but for me, he's one of those guys I really respected, and it's certainly changed over the last few weeks.
I'll tell a story about Carlos Beltran that I've told before is that, you know, back when I covered the Cardinals in the 1980s, you know, for the Globe Democrat, you know, I could go a whole day or a whole, you know, kind of several hours, you know, talking to guys and never pull out a notebook because I knew them so well. And we were talking about life and kids and
sure.
families and everything else. And I had those conversations almost on a daily basis. And when Carlos Beltran was in St. Louis, I told people I had one conversation like that in about a 5-year span, because that's just how much the game and the players have changed. And that one conversation was with Carlos Beltran, because he was that kind of a throwback player. And I've got to tell you, I'm really disappointed by what's happened and what's come out about him, too. And I think it's going to have a big effect on his Hall of Fame chances. I really do.
I think you're absolutely right. And to hear that he was kind of the ringleader in what the Astros were trying to do. And there's the other story by the Washington Post this afternoon, Rob, that details, you know, most teams kind of knew what Houston was doing, and they've been trying to combat what the Astros were able to do for a while. I got to tell you what.
The thing I don't understand, and I think this even relates back to the Cardinals, you know, part of this whole kind of thing when the Astros thing started, you know, back a few years ago after the 2015 draft, when there were, you know, accusations, obviously, that the, you know, Cardinals had tapped into the Astros security
right.
system, and it cost, you know, Chris Correa his job and basically a career in baseball because he's been banned for life from baseball. So, you know, I think the problem that he made and the problem that the other teams, if they knew about this when it was going on, is don't try to combat it. Try to just report it and let the commissioner's office handle it. I mean, that's what you have a commissioner for. That's what you have an investigation arm of the commissioner's office for. You know, just if you think something's going on, report it. Don't try to police it yourselves.
Rob Raines is with us. Of course, the Cardinals are underway with spring training. Pitchers and catchers have arrived, but a lot of the position players are there as well. Rob, you had a piece up a couple of days ago about the top 10 storylines to kind of follow here in spring training. And right at the top of the list for you, we're talking about the outfield, center field, left field ultimately, maybe right field. How many guys do you think are going to be in the mix here, Rob?
Probably five. Right now, I mean, maybe six. I mean, maybe if you count Dylan Carlson, it's six.
Yeah.
But I mean, how many jobs are you playing for? You know, I mean, you're playing for at least one starting job and one backup job will be at stake, you know, because you're going to carry at least four. You may carry five outfielders, but I would think they primarily would carry four because you also have Edmund being available to play out there on a probably somewhat regular basis. So it just kind of depends. You know, they're going to add the 26 player this year, so they'll have one extra spot to play with. They'll have 13 position players, 13 pitchers. So, we'll see, but I mean, I think, you know, Bader and Fowler are going to get the best chance to win those two jobs and show that they can, you know, earn those jobs and keep those jobs. But I think starting out, at least they'll be the two guys. So then the main competition will be who gets the start in left field. And that's where the, you know, people always say, well, where are the Cardinals going to get better offensively? Where's the boost going to come from? It's going to come from the outfield. It has to come from the outfield. Because they were not good last year, any of the three outfield positions from an offensive standpoint, in my mind. I mean, I know Ozuna had decent numbers, but, you know, you can do better than that.
No, No doubt. And it's left field, Rob. It's one of your primary offensive generating positions. And like you said, Ozuna was fine. I think some people are sort of blinded by the home runs. He got a bunch of home runs, but all the other numbers were just sort of average, especially when you factor in the offensive explosion in baseball in 2019. I don't know about you. I don't think it would be that difficult for somebody, be it O'Neill or Thomas, somebody to step up and at least replicate what Ozuna did last year.
I made a prediction, a column I wrote a couple weeks ago, whatever, with 10 predictions about this year, and I predicted that the Cardinals combined left fielders will have better numbers at the end of the year than Ozuna has now. I know I'm bullish on the kids. I always have been. I mean, I make no apologies for liking the farm system and covering the minor leagues and paying a lot of attention to it. But I really think Thomas and Carlson especially, and I like O'Neill too. I just think if they get a chance to play, they're going to produce decent offensive numbers. I think people may be surprised by how good of players they are. And the thing is, too, this team doesn't have to lead the league in offense to win games. You know, they don't have to lead the league in home runs to win games because their pitching is going to be the best pitching in the division. It's going to be the best defense in the division. They're going to run the bases well. They can just hit enough and get on base enough to generate a few more runs, even maybe an average of a half a run to three quarters of a run a game more, then they'll be a far better offensive team than they were a year ago.
Rob, are you optimistic about Carpenter?
I don't know. I'd like to be, but it's so hard. I mean, 34 years old, you just wonder, I've seen other guys, guys age differently. Sometimes guys just age gradually, and the drop-off is a steady decline, but a gradual decline, and at different ages, but he's played a lot of baseball, and sometimes you see guys that just, can't do it anymore, and the drop off is very quick. You get old in a hurry. So I hope that he, the off season that he's had and the workouts that he's done and the dedication that he's put in this winter to make himself better, I hope that that he can produce and be better player than he was a year ago, because that would certainly be beneficial for the team. But I want to wait and see what happens.
And Rob, it's not going to be that difficult for him to be better than last year because he was so bad. But I guess the ultimate question is, can he get anywhere close to where he was in 2018, where he was a top 10 MVP candidate?
I would tend to doubt it. And I think the other thing, too, is how much of a window do you give him? Because there again, you've got Tommy Edman sitting there who played great as a rookie, especially defensively at third base. I thought he was outstanding and was a very good offensive player, as a switch hitter, can run. Yes, he can move around and play a lot of positions, and that's how they intend to use him. But when you have him sitting there as an option to play third base, and Carpenter's struggling, I'd be awfully tempted to make that switch if I was the manager.
So I got to imagine you're pretty bullish, Sean, on how many at-bats Tommy Edman gets, right? North of 400 plate appearances?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, I would say even if Carpenter plays, majority of the time, he's not going to play every day. And, I think that they saw last year that DeYoung can't play every day. If he got so worn down the second half of the season, they've got to give him a day or 2 days, off a week, and then you got the three different outfield spots. So, and Wong's going to need days off. I still think, even if Edman doesn't have a regular position, he could start four or five games a week. I don't think that's a stretch by any measure.
Rob Raines with us, STLSportsPage.com. He's got the column up as to the main questions entering the main storylines for 2020 spring training. Rob, you also have these little write-ups on all of the pitchers that are in spring training for the first time. One name in particular jumps out at me, and I recall seeing his name a couple weeks back, but Rob Kaminsky, and I saw that. Hey, wait a minute, that's the same Rob Kaminsky.
Same guy,
the what does he have left in the tank?
We're going to find out. Yeah, he's a minor league free agent signing, so he's excited to be back. I talked to him right after he re-signed with the Cardinals, and he was real excited, looking forward to it. I mean, he's battled through a lot of injuries with the injuries, and he's not a fireballing guy, but he really wasn't that much of a flamethrower anyways. Curveball was his big pitch, so he's a reliever now, 25 years old, probably will start the year in Memphis. He had good numbers last year in the Cleveland system, split the year between AA and AAA, and left-handed, and he can throw the ball and spin the ball. I think he's got a chance. I mean, I think more likely he would start the year in Memphis, but he's only a phone call away then if they could need somebody.